Good evening, buenas noches.
Buenas noches.
I want to thank your president, Veronica Venta, and her board of officers and directors of the Long Island Hispanic Bar Association for their kind invitation to serve as your keynote speaker on the occasion of your annual scholarship gala. I am deeply honored to have been asked again to join you in person, as last time the raging pandemic required a virtual program. But I am beyond delighted to be here. Now, with a green light to speak on whatever I desire, I wish to focus this evening on one of my passions, the issue of diversity. Over the last 10 years, I have conducted extensive research and lectured on this subject. And it is my ardent hope that you will be edified by what I have come to share from that journey. I really do need your attention. There's this little thing about being a judge, we don't speak over others. So please, I just ask for your respect while I give my speech, that's all. Thank you. Now, appropriately, this year's national theme for Hispanic Heritage Month is Unidos, Inclusivity for a Stronger Nation, which I believe is a powerful theme, a worthy cause, and a timely mission. In this time of great division in our country, when negative forces are attempting to stoke fear and division amongst us, I think it is critical that we not be distracted and drawn to the false narrative that our country's greatest attribute, our diversity, is really our greatest threat. Hence, the natural consequence of embracing our diversity is the creation and fostering of a more inclusive society, and by extension, the building of a stronger nation. My hope is renewed daily through my interaction with enlightened people from all walks of life, and most especially with our youth. For collectively, they understand that we are all part of a global society with an ever-increasing population of people of mixed races and ethnicities. Thus, I have hope that our nation will again enter a renewed era of American dynamism, innovation, and excellence, not stifled and encumbered by prejudice, bias, and hate. I have learned that to achieve this new era, our country must fully and truly embrace the concept of diversity. The term diversity has become a loaded word in our American lexicon and national discourse. It should not and it must not be. If we are to remain relevant globally, and if we are to achieve a diverse and inclusive nation. Over the last century, great thinkers and leaders of our global society have contemplated the true meaning and objective of diversity, and by extension, inclusion. Diversity is not a new construct, as some might claim, for the purpose of pushing forth that other loaded word, affirmative action, or put another way, the two are not synonymous, and ironically, and quite simply, fully embracing the former eliminates the need for the latter. As a native New Yorker, I remember a time when with great pride, our city proclaimed itself the melting pot of the world. I prefer, however, to view it as President Jimmy Carter did, when he noted, we have become not a melting pot, but a beautiful mosaic, different people, different beliefs, different learnings, different hopes, different dreams. The image of a mosaic is, I believe, more fitting, as it connotes a coming together of different pieces without forfeiting the individuality of each unique contribution. Rather than the melting pot concept, which would seem to create this false narrative that merely by living together we automatically become one. Anyone who is married knows nothing further from the truth. for Hispanics, Latinos, Latinx, and children of color, navigating these issues can be quite challenging. Our history, you see, is varied and impacted by a multitude of factors, like our family's geographic origins, the historical context of our ancestors' socioeconomic status, and the consequence of ethnic and racial mixing, whether intentional or not. Latinos, you see, hail from all parts of the world and have ancestral links to Latin America, the Caribbean, Africa, Europe, and the indigenous peoples in North America and South America. Hence, to me, being a Latina is a perpetual state of being considered, as my ancestors include a beautiful mosaic of races and ethnicities that span the globe. Hence, there can be no debate. Diversity and inclusivity that flows from it enriches our society. Diversity challenges our assumptions. We benefit from each other's perspectives, talents, gifts, and contributions. To stifle that is a travesty upon global privilege. There was a time, less so now, when the prevalent tenor of dialogue spoke of tolerance. I think Jerome Nathanson, former chairman of the New York Society for Ethical Culture, captured it best when he said, "The price of the democratic way of life is a growing appreciation of people's differences, not merely as tolerable, but as the essence of a rich and rewarding human experience." This observation is especially critical when the goal is to achieve a good inclusivity. It should be obvious that no person, regardless of race, ethnicity, gender, religious persuasion, or who they love, wants to be tolerated. We want what every American wants, that which is guaranteed to us by our Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, rights which our nation's forefathers considered inalienable to each of us. We must fulfill that great American ideal. It is one of the many reasons why I have championed the cause of diversity and inclusion in our courts. For every court user should see themselves represented in our state's justice system. As I have said time and time again, and I will repeat it today, as I believe it bears repeating, the courts of every region of our state should reflect the community it serves, and Long Island should not be an exception. And the Appellate Division in 1894, we have had only 7 Latino judges elected or appointed from Long Island, and only 2 have ascended to the appellate level. All of them are currently serving, and some have been assigned to sit out of court. Now, both Nassau and Suffolk have each elected 1 Latino Supreme Court justice. You have elected 1 family court judge who is now in the Court of Claims. We have 3 other Court of Claims judges and 1 county court judge. That's all she wrote. That is appalling. Absolutely appalling. And something has to change.
Yep.
But when we consider them against the problem, it really gets home. The 2020 census determined that the Latino population on Long Island increased by 33.5% from 2010 to 2020. Currently, Long Island's population is just north of 2.8 million residents, with Suffolk having 145,000 more residents than Nassau. And Latinos now constitute 20.2%, or one-fifth, of the island's population. We don't have that representation in any right. Hence, the issues of lack of inclusion, despite the aforementioned depth of diversity, are even more stark in 63 out of the 293 villages, hamlets, and cities on Long Island. According to the 2020 census, there are 52 communities on Long Island where Latinos constitute 20% or more of the population. Another 11 have 19 to 19.99% of the population. There are seven communities, which this word, there are seven communities that have a majority of Latino residents. Brentwood at 75.5%. North Bay Shore at 68.2%. Central Islip at 59.5%. Newcastle, 55.8%. Flanders at 54.2%. Inwood, 52.99%. And Hempstead Village, 50.1%. And not one of those communities has a single representative. How is that possible? Something is very wrong in Long Island. And there must be a movement to change this. Now, despite these facts and our obvious sizable presence, Latinos remain obviously grossly underrepresented in all three branches of government and in the whole island. You have seven Latinos, just seven, who have an elected seat in your government. You have nine senators, state senators, who represent Long Island. Seven are Republican, two are Democrats, all of them are white. You have zero representation in the state assembly, in the state senate. So I went through all of that to say the power of change lies with the leaders in this region and any other that has not yet realized a diverse judiciary and a diverse local government. For you see, they too must embrace the concept of inclusivity, if equitable representation and unity are to be achieved throughout this great state. I wish I could say that the time of tokenism is past, but the statistics I have just shared illustrates that even that bare minimum has not been achieved. And to proclaim that an era of inclusion is well overdue, well, that might be the understatement of the year. So it is clear that you, the leaders of this community, despite all that you have already done, and I know that you are out there. There are a great many wonderful community-based organizations out here in Long Island who are fighting the good fight. And they need every single person in this room to say presente. All hands on deck. So I'm going to say to you what my pastor says to me and the members of my church. You must give of your time, your talents, and or your treasure. But give you must. You see, the thing that I said to you guys the last time I spoke, the Bronx in a decade turned around our judiciary. We got a Puerto Rican county leader in charge, and they started making. So I hope you're hearing me. Because of course, as a judge, I'm not supposed to be political. But I'm talking to my community first. So I am sure that you understand, and I hope that I have made the point very clear, that until this community realizes their true representative capacity, things will not change. Understand that power is never, never relinquished willingly. It must be taken. And así mi gente, ya tiempo.
So I would like to end where I began.
Because of our youth, I have great hope for our nation, as they will continue to challenge us to embrace the better angels of our nature and to build a more inclusive society, a society where all of its citizens are equal under the law. Pa'lante en la lucha, buenas noches, que Dios te bendiga.